Happy Tag Tuesday.
How are you?
I'm Ann Police.
Oh, and I'm Denise Cooper.
Oh, and we're two average girls. Glad to see you. Happy to see you. It's been a while.
It has. Welcome home.
Thanks. Welcome home to you too.
Thank you. I feel refreshed and good.
You look refreshed.
I was at Coachella adjacent.
Oh. Now, were you wearing a mesh thong with no bra?
I left that at home. Thank you very much. No, I refrained from that. No, I didn't go to Coachella, but I could hear the thumping from my house.
You could?
Yes. Oh, yeah. You can hear it every night.
Ew.
It's only 3 miles from my house.
Oh, is it that? Oh, is that that? Okay.
I
know
where that. It's that close. Mm-hmm. It's that close. And so with it comes all the fun.
Now, let me ask you about the fun. Is there a very obvious influx of people?
Let's just remind the listeners, when you go out to the Palm Springs, Coachella Valley area, specifically La Quinta and Indio, La Quinta is next to Indio, and Indio is where Coachella is, basically. That whole area is full of people who are super old.
Yeah.
For the most part. People it's a retirement sort of community. You know, birds, snowbirds that come from Canada and all over the place. There's millions of golf courses, not millions, but hundreds.
A lot.
There's a lot. There's a lot going on. That's one of the reasons we love it out there, and this weather's always great.
Right.
It's awesome. Mm. But you know, the average age when you go into the Ralphs, the local Ralphs, is going to be, you know, 65, 75 years old.
You're calling that old?
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that's super old, but it's not young.
Okay.
But it's kind of weird because you go out there and it's noticeably older.
Sure, yes.
Because when you go to a store here, it's a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You don't see very many kids anywhere. You don't go out to a restaurant and see kids.
No.
It's just adults.
Sure.
Older adults. Mm-hmm. Well, I was out there this weekend and went to the grocery store the Thursday before Coachella.
Oh, no.
Let me just say this.
Tell me.
Parking lot was bustling. Now, in this month, the month of April, there is a concert almost every single week. This was the first weekend of Coachella.
Okay.
It goes on next weekend as well.
Coachella's 2 weekends?
Okay. Yes. You couldn't fit enough in the first weekend.
Sure.
So you have to go for two.
Okay.
And I mean, the lineup at Coachella is very impressive.
Do you know what it is?
I don't know it off the top of my head, but yeah. I saw it. Doja Cat was the headliner yesterday. That was who was playing yesterday evening.
Okay.
And every single night they have a headliner and at least 30 other bands playing. I haven't been there, but we had guests, Aiden and his friend.
Aiden!
Yep. They were able to stay with us and they came back and reported all the happenings at Coachella. And it sounds amazing. If you're into music, if you're into big groups of people, sand, hot,
sand.
If you're into any of that, there's a little bit of wind, a little bit of heat. It's, you know, there's thousands of people there. Let me just say this. I felt very old when the buses dropped people off at the Ralphs to start shopping. I didn't know what was going on. I had to ask one of the people that worked there. First of all, you walk into the store and there's 5 guards at every single exit and entrance.
Okay.
And they're making sure people are not stealing food and
good.
Alcohol.
Good.
So that was a different experience. I'm like, wow, what's going on here? And then I quickly saw the groups of people around me and they weren't the old people that I normally see.
Yeah.
These were people with lots of tattoos, lots of skin showing, little bit of everything. They were down for it. They were ready to go. It was something to watch what they were buying, to see how they, I mean, lots of alcohol, lots of water.
Oh, sure.
Talk to a couple people.
Gotta
they
hydrate.
Were going to be camping there.
It within the confines of Coachella?
Yes, you can camp there.
Okay.
Yes, our guests decided that wasn't going to be for them. They would rather stay at, you know, the Hummingbird Hideaway, which is my house.
Aiden, please. You made the right choice, friend.
Aiden's not a camper. He is more of a, you know, five-star hotel. Maybe a four-star hotel would be like camping for him.
Denise's house is
exactly,
camping.
Exactly. I mean, if you want to go and enjoy and have the experience, I could have seen myself camping at Coachella.
Really?
Oh, totally.
In when you were in college?
Oh, hell yeah. Every
really?
Day. Oh my gosh. I did a lot of stuff in college that we won't get into over this mic, but.
Oh, but I want to.
I know, but it was, let's just say this, I've evolved into something that you probably wouldn't recognize.
Our listeners demand to know.
Let's just say this, I would camp at Coachella.
Okay. Well,
I would be dressed up at Coachella, not with a G-string and a mesh something with no bra, but it would have been planned out. It would be for the whole situation.
No, so you said this weekend was Coachella. Next weekend is Coachella.
Yes, and then I think they take a break for a week, and then it's Stagecoach.
Which is the country version of
Coachella. Yes.
So are you going to be out there next weekend for Coachella 2?
Yes, I will.
Will you have guests?
We do not.
Okay.
Not that I know of. Family members might be coming just to come out.
Yeah.
Once you get into our community and once you get past all that's going on, you're fine. Getting to Coachella takes some work on the freeways. Plan your time out. But once they're there at the concert, you're good.
Okay.
It's just getting to and from different places.
Do you bring food out when you know there's going to be a weekend like this weekend?
I just go to the grocery store.
You're okay with that, going with the unwashed and unclean in their mesh?
Oh, for me, yes. I didn't realize that I was going to be on that Thursday experiencing that, but I was kind of glad I did. I felt like, wow, I got to experience Coachella.
That's it.
I didn't need to. You could actually watch it live streaming too. They had a channel you could watch locally live stream it.
They do?
Yep. And so you can do that. And
we are so old right now, but there's different stages. There's the main stage.
There's
and
a little
then
bit of everything.
Other stages.
There's main stages. There's, I don't know how many. I'm mm-hmm. not the person to ask, but several. There was everything from Latin music, like mariachi bands and rap. There's every genre under the known to man is there.
Interesting.
The energy that I can imagine would be there, because you hear live music. It's so awesome.
That's great.
There's nothing like it.
Yeah, but it also is an excuse I have learned, because I'm old, that at those at concerts, it's an excuse to misbehave.
I'm sure that's the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been to Stagecoach a couple times.
You have?
I have, and it's really fun, but people do a lot of partying,
sure.
especially if you are camping out there. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're camping in a tent. You got to go to sleep, so you're going to have to drink enough so that you're tired enough to sleep. I mean, there's no showering. I mean, it's a whole situation. The shower's in a bag, I guess, where you have like a plastic bag full of water and you just kind of, I don't call that a shower.
I've done that.
Okay, you have?
I've done that because you can heat it when it's in a bag. It's like a little solar system and the water heats up. So at least the water's warm, but it's not much of a shower. Anyway.
No, it's, again, this for the young. There are a lot of people there's other people that go there all the time. It's extremely expensive.
How much?
It's like $400 or $500 just for main entrance tickets.
Hmm.
Our guests had VIP passes.
Sure.
And they got to go to the VIP parking section. Again, they weren't schlepping all over the place. They got to come back and have a shower and sleep in a nice comfy bed and go along their way. That's the way to see Coachella.
In the VIP area, mm-hmm. is there food for them?
Yeah.
Oh.
They don't get it served. You have to buy it. And that was a next level expensive.
Was it?
Yeah, it was very expensive, they said.
An $18 hot dog. Have
$24
fun.
For two chicken tenders.
Oh.
So. But the water was all, they had a situation with the water where it was like $2.50 for just a bottle of water. So you wouldn't, I mean, you can't, they used to not do that. You'd go to big venues and the water's $15. Well, no one's drinking water and everyone's drinking beer.
And everyone's passing out.
And everyone's having to be hauled off and people are getting sued because they're not providing enough. And there's filling stations now.
That's the other thing.
Yeah.
But you can't bring your water in.
No, but you can bring an open bottle that doesn't have anything. They check the water bottles.
A container and then you can
Yep.
do it. Okay.
So, I mean, you know, it's the new way of seeing things. You know, since social media, since influencers, this has become a I want to be seen place. Mm. And the amount of jets that have flown in to, there's a little airstrip not very far from our house. It's just multi-million dollar jets and Bentleys and all kinds of cars. And the rich and famous are going there to see it. And then there's also the regular people who are camping and just want to be there for the experience.
Right.
And say that you were, that you've been there.
That you were at Coachella.
It was pretty cool.
That's fun.
Yeah. I also got to do something fun last weekend that was awesome. We got to see a comedian.
Who's that?
Nate Bargatze.
I love him.
Hod got us tickets for Christmas.
Oh, he did?
And we got to go, and it was, the whole fam went, all the kids and their spouses. We made it a night. We went to dinner first.
I love it.
And I'm telling you, it was so much fun. If you haven't seen a comedian, and it's hard to find comics that you can feel comfortable with, at least for me, we watch a lot of it on Netflix, and it usually is, let's turn it on, and 5 minutes in, we're like, okay, I've heard enough of the F word. And I know that for this new generation, cussing is just part of life.
It is.
For me, it seems like you're dumb.
Well, it's celebrated.
It's just not, it's not smart for me to hear all of that all the time. But this group of comedians, not one of them was nasty, dirty, didn't speak. Nothing was, there was no cussing.
Was there an opening act?
There was four.
Four?
He had an MC who was super funny. I can't tell you his name. I'm not good with this kind of stuff. I laughed from the second it started. And I mean, I'm telling you, I laughed so hard a couple times. I was like literally crying. And it is so good for the soul.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to go and experience that in person with somebody. It just, it was so great. We left the thing, and we were at the Honda Center in Orange County. They're doing stuff with the parking lot. It is a madhouse mess, but you got out of there and no one was angry, because we've been laughing for an hour and a half or 2 hours, and you're just like in a good mood. The next day I was like, remember when he said such and such? And you're just still laughing, and you just, it's like a happy hangover.
Did he fill that stadium
capacity?
They didn't have anything blocked off?
No.
Wow.
It was a stage in the round.
Whoa.
It was over like 17,000 people there.
Wow.
It was really, really cool.
He's so funny.
He's so funny. And he just talks about real stuff. Mm-hmm. And everyone can relate to it. And his delivery is stellar.
He's
the way he delivers it.
He's kind of dry. And it's just
dry.
So
and
fun.
He's so like the common person. Mm-hmm. And you can relate to him and his family. And he'll talk about being old. He'll talk about his old family, his parents being old. And you're just like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got it.
I get you. It's so good. It's
he has
so good.
Some Netflix specials. So if you've never seen
has
him.
Has several.
Yeah. So you can get online and watch him. He is really great.
He's
I
really,
love
really
it. How fun for you.
I know.
I love it. We're gonna do weird news today. Let me start us out. I've got a story you're going to like.
I can't wait.
Because it involves a dog.
Oh, I love dogs.
A dog missing from California since the summer. So last summer, 2023.
Have you ever lost a dog?
Yeah.
That is...
She came back, but she was in bad... She was in rough shape.
Your dog came back?
Yeah. Pepper.
It was Pepper. It wasn't...
It wasn't Purple. No. Purple knew better. Pepper was just kind of a house dog. She wasn't trained or anything. She was like our first dog that we had as kids and whatever, and she was a Labrador too, but she wasn't trained to do anything. She would just like sit around the house, and she decided to go on a little adventure one day, and I cried and cried. It's the worst thing ever. But she came back. She'd been hit by a car.
Oh crap.
But she was laying in our backyard on a chaise lounge.
Oh, poor little Pepper.
Like overnight. And we went out in the morning, and she was just kind of laying there looking at us like, help. And so we took her, and she got better, and she lived another, probably 8 years. She was an old dog. She was an old dog.
But, every dog I've ever had, except for the dogs we have now, used to run away.
I've been on a chase trying to find your dogs.
I used to have a laminated sign for a couple of the dogs because they got out so often, I would have to put the freaking laminated sign out.
Yeah.
Oliver. French Bulldog. Buster. Buster would get out, and they're all terrier related. Don't get a terrier if you want your dog to appreciate where they live.
Your dogs were chipped, right? Like Oliver?
Yeah, but guess what? The Orange County Animal Shelter isn't smart enough to chip them to find out where they are a couple times.
What do you mean?
They didn't chip them. They don't have a chip. I'm like, yes, they do. Oh, we missed it. I found Buster one time on their site with its little mugshot.
His mugshot.
And I go to pick him up.
Yeah.
Okay. And they charged me like $400. And this was a while ago. Mm-hmm. And I was almost ready not to pay for it.
You took one look at Buster and said, I don't know that dog.
I told the guy, I'm like, well, I'm just going to leave him here then if you're going to charge me $400.
Did he let Buster go?
No. He's like, okay, whatever you want to do.
Oh, you couldn't do that.
No, but I was pissed. I could have sent him to the Ritz-Carlton for the day.
Yeah.
And he would have gotten better treatment.
He could have come home with a new shampoo set, baby.
It was ridiculous.
Anyway, I
just have to say this is hitting close to home.
Well, this is a better story than
my Buster
story. I remember searching this neighborhood for Oliver more than once.
Oh, more than once.
That dog would get out and just like, what? This is my life.
We don't have screen doors on the front door. We just have this like, but aren't my dogs now? They get out and they know where it's at. They are not going to miss a meal and they're not going to miss their sleep number bed.
No, they've got an opportunity to lick butter directly off a plate. They're coming back. I've seen those dogs in action. This is incredible. So a dog that went missing in California since this last summer turned up in Detroit.
What? He went from California
to Detroit.
I think he hitchhiked. There's no way he walked.
Police in Harper Woods. There's no way he walked. I can just see him like walking the highway. Police in Harper Woods responded to a call about a stray last week.
No way.
So it's been almost a year.
No way.
Since this dog went missing. Yes. Picked up the terrier mix, Denise's point.
I'm just telling you, I'm no animal expert, but if it has any kind of terrier in it, just think twice.
Okay. I didn't know that those French bullies had terrier in them.
I think that they have some kind of little dog.
Like if you're a short dog, you're probably a terrier. I don't know how you figure that out.
I think there's a gene pool that's a problem. I mean, I'm just telling you, it's genetic. It's genetic.
They just want to leave.
They want to run.
Dude.
And the weirdest thing about those kind of dogs is you try to take them on a walk and all of a sudden it's like taking your husband to Nordstrom. He has to find a chair. He can't hardly sit. You know, like he can't walk one step further. It's, you know, you're like pulling him along on his walk, but then he gets out and you can't freaking find the dog and he's 3 miles away from home.
Sure. He's gone on an adventure that you didn't know existed.
Oliver went to Anaheim one time. Somebody found him up the street and took him back to their house.
In Anaheim?
In Anaheim.
Did they call you?
They did not call me. Somebody else found our sign and the people that they had been working for said, I think my housekeeper took the dog.
Oh.
And they did.
And they didn't want to give it back?
They found out that Oliver had some medical issues and then they were okay. But a French bulldog isn't cheap. So I think they took him until they realized, wait a minute, this dog farts a lot. Oh. And he also has a lot of medical issues.
He's a designer dog on the outside and pure white trash on the inside.
He is like, he's like eating so much crap and he's snorting and he's got air in his lungs all the time from that short nose.
He used to make that noise. Oh, Oliver, I miss. Rest in peace, Oliver.
I know. He did.
He was a good boy.
He wasn't a good boy, but
he was lovable, though.
He was. He was a sweet, short bus kind of kid.
He was a short, but you had to love him. He was short bus.
No, he was short bus. I mean, we could go on and on, but he was almost drowned in the pool, and Susan found him. That's why he's literally, I think he ended up having some kind of brain damage. It's not. I'm not joking. It's true.
There was something so wrong with Oliver.
There
poor
really
baby.
Was, but he was very sweet. We'll post a picture.
We got
of
pictures of Oliver with every family member.
He's really a sweet dog. He was really a sweet dog. And the biggest problem for at the end was that he had a real problem with his intestines, mm-mm. and it ended up making him really, really sick. And we were on a long motorcycle ride. And Jacqueline had to take him to the vet. It's her dog. And she had to put on her big girl panties and do the worst thing on the planet, which is take your pet to do the right thing by your pet. Don't let him suffer anymore. Mm-hmm. And she called this and she was like, what should we do? And I'm like, what do you think we should do? Mm-hmm. And she knew the answer. And my sister, bless her, went with her and they did the hard job.
I want to cry for her.
I have done it and it is terrible.
It's not good.
It's terrible. But it's also, you have to, as a pet owner, know that that day is coming and you have to be able to be strong enough to make the right decision.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Hard because you love the pet, but they're suffering.
They're suffering.
Oof.
So what's this dog situation?
So police in Harper Woods responded to a call about a stray, picked up the terrier mix and contacted an animal welfare group.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Grosse Pointe Animal Adoption Society, which is outside of Detroit, it's that real fancy area outside Detroit, said that it quickly discovered that the dog named Mishka.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's a very sophisticated name.
Yes, for a terrier mix. I'm not sure if it really fits it, but okay.
Okay. The dog had a chip implanted in her with the information about her owners. So Mirad Homan and his family, who live in San Diego, were planning to travel to Minnesota when the call came in. He landed there and then, drove 10 hours to Michigan. I'm not sure why. Just fly directly into Detroit. I don't know. I'm just reading what I have. So he went to Minnesota. Maybe they were already planning on going to Minnesota.
Maybe.
That's it. Okay. We're going to go with that. Drove 10 hours to go to Michigan for a reunion with Mishka. This is a tale that Hollywood would love to tell. Mishka had wandered away from Howman's workplace and auto garage last July and never returned. Her collar had the family's phone number on it. We think that it was stolen and then it was sold and ended up in Michigan. This is what they're saying. This is what the animal welfare group is saying.
Can I ask you, do you have a picture of Mishka?
Yeah, I'll show you.
Okay.
Homan's wife, Elizabeth, said, "It's been an incredible journey. I never gave up," she said. "I put out over 1,000 flyers." So she hadn't learned the laminating trick. She didn't know to do that.
Yeah.
But she put out over 1,000 flyers. I had a flyer on the back of my windshield. I wore her leash.
I never
leash.
Did that.
You didn't want to advertise it too much, just in case they didn't really want to come back.
I mean, just in case, you know, he's got a better home. I mean, I don't know. Maybe someone's going to take better care of him.
I love that. Maybe. You never know. Keep an open mind. She wore the leash whenever she would look for her. So she'd be out wandering the neighborhood and she'd have that leash on. That's how positive this mom was that she was going to find her dog. Now, I just want to find out how she got to Michigan. I got news for you, lady. You're never going to find out. Veterinarian Nancy Pillsbury examined the three-year-old. She's only three. This dog gave her a rabies shot, cleared her to travel back home to California. She was clean. She'd been well fed. Whoever had her took good care of her. That's what they told the Associated Press. So she had been stolen. How she got here, only Mishka knows the story.
Wouldn't you love to be just like having some sort of ability to, like, if she had some kind of GPS on her, know where she went, when she went, how she went? And they have those on dogs.
They do. I think you should use them. It's amazing. So anyway, Mishka is back home.
I want to see what the dog looks like. I find it interesting. Like, if the dog had no collar, I could totally see people saying, "Oh well, I'll take the dog. No, how can we get it back to somebody?"
Right.
But when you have a collar with somebody's name on it, that seems really bad. I mean, the dog's cute enough, but not worth stealing. You know what I mean? No, that's not my kind of dog. I'm sorry. I'm a dog lover, but I would never hurt a dog, but I wouldn't steal that dog.
Not that dog.
I mean, do you think it ended up in like a semi-truck, like one of those, like across the road, on the road again, and the dog just like, "Hey, let's have a pal," and then he gets somewhere and he's like, don't really.
That would make more sense to me. Like, someone saw it skipping down the road and was like, "Let's have a little companion," and then was like, "Enough with the barking." Sparky.
Or, I've got to, like, man, I really got to stop often, and this isn't going
to
work for me.
This dog has to use the facilities, and I'm sick of it. So anyway, it's a feel-good story, though. The family was very happy. They have small children, and Mishka was the dog for the kids.
Yeah, sure.
So those kids love that dog, and they're happy that she's back.
7 months, I would have gotten a new dog by then.
I write that dog off. I'm on to the next dog.
Me too.
Sorry.
That's really positive thinking.
She's wearing the leash around the neighborhood because she's so sure she's going to run into that dog and just take it home. Dog was living its best life.
She had to really travel
life.
Far for that. That's all the way to Detroit she would
Grosse
have to walk.
Grosse Pointe, Michigan.
Yeah. Oh, geez, Louise. Well, you know how we have a tendency to talk about naked people doing, regular people doing naked things at inappropriate times.
Love it.
Love it too. Well, a Dublin man appeared in court completely nude.
Wow.
And refused to wear clothes after his, in quotes, emotional support cat went missing during a traffic stop.
Oh, no.
The facts of the case were laid bare when Joseph Davis, 51, appeared before Judge Marie Quirk at the weekend sitting of the Dublin District Court. So this is in Ireland.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Davis of Ashton Mews, Dublin, was charged with Road Traffic Act offenses of failing to give Gardaí, which is the Irish police they call them the Garda or the Gardai, I guess.
Gardi.
And not keeping the car stationary during the alleged incident on Friday. So when they pulled him over, he decided to keep moving.
Oh, one of those funny I keep moving jokes.
Like the cop gets up there and you ask for your thing and then he
inches forward
like your husband might do when he's like trying to let you get into the car and you're like,
that's hilarious.
It's, you know, that's really a funny
one
thing.
Of those funny
men
jokes.
Love that. Men love to do that to people,
especially criminals and police. They think that's the cops. Really
apparently,
think that's
they didn't
funny.
Think it was super funny because they brought him in. She remanded him in custody and with consent to a 200-pound bail, directed medical attention, and asked the Gardai to find out what happened to his cat Oliver. So his cat Oliver is pretty important. Mr. Davis entered the stunned courtroom naked.
No.
With his hands over his private parts.
Oh, okay.
Which is nice.
It is nice.
Thank you. But not nice. All of it can be covered because you only have two hands and there's a lot more parts that you don't want to see. But within seconds, he stood with his arms outstretched to argue his case after rejecting the services of a lawyer, telling him to F off.
Come on.
The judge told him to sit down, but he stood up and claimed that he had been stripped and humiliated and as he demanded an opportunity to speak.
Okay.
Okay. I don't see. She added that there was no objection to the bail, but the Gardai sought $100 cash lodgment fee that they wanted. And the judge said, I don't see his wallet on him today. And he said, you don't see effing anything.
He said that to the judge?
Yes. The court sergeant informed the judge that the man had his property, including his clothes, and that he just won't put them on, and he refused, and he started taking them off when they brought him in here.
No.
Yeah. He said, let me tell you a story. This is relevant to, this is my story. What happened yesterday, I was traveling with my companion pet, Oliver. He normally comes into this court. I was dropping off legal documents pertaining to legal cases in the high court. Okay, he remained on his feet in the 9-minute hearing. Mr. Davis called the police scum, maintaining that he tried to show them his documents and that he had been bashed. So it goes on and on, but he pleaded his case and they reprimanded him to a little bit of psychiatric care.
Yes.
Which is probably appropriate.
No.
Because when you show up to court with no clothes on, you immediately like set yourself up for people, you know, not really listening to what you have to say. So if there's a takeaway today, keep your clothes on.
Clothes on. What happened to the cat?
They don't say.
Oh.
I don't know. It's not like, he might be in Detroit.
He caught a ship liner because this guy's always naked.
So I mean, I'm just saying that Oliver might have, you know, hitchhiked his way through.
One wouldn't blame him.
Europe, and then he could be all the way here in the United States. He crossed the pond.
I wouldn't blame him.
I wouldn't either. He's got a cuckoo for a companion.
Put some clothes on, buddy.
I know. Put some clothes on.
So
would
they
you?
Didn't say in that article, like, they put him in jail because that's jail time.
I, you know, in Dublin, and again, I'm not, you know, super familiar with the court system there in Ireland, but it's a smaller village kind of thing. I don't think that it's the same. Kind of, we're not sitting here in Orange County with some naked man that would be like, immediately you'll just go and you're going to be on a 5150 and we're not going to deal with you. They didn't mention alcohol. Mm-mm. It's pretty prevalent there. So I don't know if that had anything to do with it. The man's mentally ill, apparently.
Clearly.
He's got a cat that's a companion, his support, emotional support cat.
And that right there is the question.
I'm not, anybody who's listening who loves cats, we're not bashing cats. Oh. And they can be totally your emotional support.
Sure.
But when you take them in the car and then take your clothes off to protest the fact that you're there, then you've crossed the line. We've got to draw the line somewhere.
We set up some real strong perimeters.
Yeah.
Okay. We're going to take it back here to the U.S. The owner of a Kansas bakery is asking customers to eat their cookies carefully.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
She lost her $4,000 diamond from her ring in the cookie dough.
Oh. I thought it was going to be something gross. That's not gross.
Still, you crunch down on that diamond.
That's going to break a tooth.
It's going to break a tooth. The woman's name is Dawn Monroe. They call her Sis. And she's the owner of Sis Sweets Cookies and Cafe in Leavenworth, Kansas. She said that the diamond fell off the ring that had been on her finger for 36 years.
She hadn't had the prongs checked.
I don't think she had. It was at some point while she was in the shop. We all went back to the kitchen and looked around, she told the local TV station, but she fears that the gem ended up in the cookie dough. If you happen to find it, I would forever be in your debt if you could return it, she wrote on the business's Facebook page. Poor baby. And now that's sort of, it's a short story, but it's, there's nothing, it hasn't been returned.
They didn't find it.
Not yet. This just happened. And she's putting the word out that please chew carefully if you bought anything from Sis's Bakery. There's some photos of her bakery. And it's,
where is it at again?
Leavenworth, Kansas. Aww. It's gorgeous. The food is beautiful.
But you think about this. Hmm. You get a dozen cookies.
Yeah.
You eat a couple.
Right.
Then you throw the rest of them away.
You might throw some
stale.
Away. Yeah.
Or you give them to a neighbor. They don't know anything about this.
I know.
And
everyone.
They bite on something. They think it's just like a shell or something.
Ooh, can you imagine you spit out a diamond? A diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, if there's anyone in Kansas listening to this, it just happened. Please be careful when biting into Sis's cookies because she thinks that's where she lost it.
I hope if someone finds it, they don't keep it.
No. Yeah, I don't think people from Kansas are like that. I think they'll return it.
You do?
I do. I have great faith of the people in Kansas. I don't know.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway, it was a shorty, so.
I like it.
That's it.
Well, I'm going to be a little more sensational than that.
Oh, please do.
Let me just ask you this.
Tell me.
Have you ever been angry enough at your husband to hurt him?
No.
Me either.
Mm-mm.
I've been mad enough to be angry. Like
sure.
Yell and scream or be
Walk
crying.
Out.
Yeah. Slam the door.
Slam the door.
Yeah. Let's say he cheated on you.
Oh, well, that's a whole different story. That's not...
You know when people say, like, if he cheated on me, I'd cut his...
Oh, no. Yeah. Lorena Bobbitt?
This happened. A Brazilian man has gotten back together with his partner after she chopped off his penis during a supposed intimate night after she learned he had cheated with a teenage relative.
Oh,
yeah.
Honey.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Gilberto Noriega, 39, was planning on marrying his girlfriend, Diane Dos Santos, 34, in January when he cheated on her with her 15-year-old niece. This is in Brazil.
Don't care.
I agree.
Okay.
I'm just going to preface this by saying, as I'm scrolling through this to talk about it today, there is no talk about him getting in trouble for him being with the 15-year-old.
Well, may I interject?
Mm-hmm.
Age of consent in Brazil is probably 15.
I'm just going to say, I don't know, but you're probably right.
Because mm-hmm.
there was no mention.
He didn't go to jail for this.
There wasn't even a mention about it being inappropriate.
Oh, great. Okay, go on.
After discovering the affair, Dos Santos plotted her revenge by setting up one of their bedrooms for the night and invited him in to have an intimate night in December of 2023 and spiced it up with a lingerie set.
She's going all the way.
She's not going to leave anything to fate here. She's going to make sure he's all in. Once Noriega was in bed without his clothes on, Dos Santos executed her revenge by turning off the lights. Okay, now, for listeners,
you might want to hit that 30-second forward right
you
now.
You might want to. I'm just going to say it because I have to say it. But if you have kids in the car, don't listen.
Turn
and
it
whatever.
Off.
But okay. She turned off the lights and tied his penis with a rubber band before she cut it off with a razor. Well, it says she cut it with a razor.
She didn't get completely through it.
I'm sure he moved.
Well, yeah.
How did she even get the rubber band on there?
That right there is suspect.
I mean, maybe he thought it was a game.
Well, I'm sure she introduced it as, you know, it's going to be sexy fun. I'm going to do this thing.
Let me show you this. Rubber band.
Well, he doesn't need to know because it's dark.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't know. Yeah. He doesn't know. Yeah. Poor guy.
Yeah.
He's undergone multiple operations and is waiting for a penile prosthetic that was gifted by a urologist and will be implanted once he has recovered. In an interview, Dos Santos, who has two children from a prior relationship, deserves to spend time in jail and has been labeled a criminal. It now appears that Noriega has a change of heart.
Okay? In regards to what?
Her.
No.
And he wants to resume the tumultuous relationship with her, according to letters recently shared with the Global newspaper. If I hadn't had sex with her niece on my partner's birthday, her birthday, He really knows how to.
He's getting it done.
Uh-huh. Yeah. None of this would have happened. Diane is a wonderful, loving woman who loves me. She didn't deserve to be betrayed like that. She was exposed to the whole country, and I don't care what others think. What really matters is how I feel about her.
Hmm.
This guy, we've talked about this before, and this is why I'm even doing this story. What in the world are women doing that men can't just get enough?
Crazy love.
I mean, literally, she cut it off.
Yeah.
He's coming back for more.
Yeah.
He can't come back for more because she's in jail.
What does she think, I wonder? I wonder if she wants
him back. In handwritten notes, DeSantos expressed how much she missed him, his daughter and her children, and described her experience in the women's penitentiary. She said, I can't believe I got a letter from you. I was so happy and I have no reaction as I imagined I would never have any kind of contact with you again, she wrote.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you would think.
Yeah, it's just,
I mean, I'm not well, obviously, but both because of what happened and because I miss my children.
Yeah.
So it goes on and on to say, but he responded and to say that he is going to be there. He's even covered her. He's offered to pay the $8,000 covering costs for her defense team.
Sure.
And the start of her trial is in April 24th of this year. So it's just happening next week.
Hasn't even, it's not gone to trial.
Yeah. It says, today I'm going to tell you what's in my heart. I want you to get out of that there as soon as possible to take care of your children and me, he wrote.
Oh, no.
Yep. I'm counting down the days until you come home. On the day that justice frees you, you know that I will be at the gate waiting for you with open arms. There's a lot of people in the world, people. You don't have to stay with this crazy one.
I don't know. Maybe he likes it. Maybe the rubber band play wasn't new. Maybe he was like, oh, yeah, I love this trick.
This is a trick, all right.
It's a trick.
She really showed you.
Oh, woo! My gosh. Best of luck to both of them.
Oh, my goodness.
All right. My final story, I'm going to take us to Bangkok. You coming with me?
Bangkok, the Oriental city?
Yeah, that's right.
The city that, how does it go?
I don't remember the next line of the song, but yes, it's from the 80s. Thank you, Denise, for bringing that up.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm. Thai wildlife officials laid out a plan just this last week to bring peace to the central Thai, to a central Thai city, it's not Bangkok, after at least a decade of human-monkey conflict. There's conflict between the two, Denise.
I can't believe you would be talking about this even.
I like to talk about human-monkey conflict. It's my thing. The macaws, which are the ones that you like.
I do.
Those cute little ones that roam Lopburi, L-O-P-B-U-R-I? Lopburi? Mm-hmm.
Lopburi.
Okay. Are a symbol of local culture and a major tourist draw. But after years of dangerous encounters with residents and visitors, several failed attempts to bring peace with population controls. So they're trying to control the population of these stupid monkeys. I mean, these wonderful monkeys. Local people and local businesses have had enough.
Oh.
Amen. The monkeys frequently snatch food from humans, sometimes resulting in tussles that leave people with scratches and other injuries. If I get scratched by a monkey, there's not enough rabies shots in the world.
We're going to have to get you some major help.
Outrage grew in March, just this March. That was just last month, when a woman dislocated her knee after a monkey pulled her off her feet in an effort to grab her food. And another man was knocked off a motorcycle by a hungry monkey.
Whoa.
Knocked him right off a motorcycle.
He must be big.
No, they're little, but you get your and a monkey comes at you from the side.
Boom.
Down. Down you go. Authorities hope to round up some 2,500 urban monkeys and place them in massive enclosures. This is from the general director of the Department of National Parks, Wildlife and Plant Conservation there in Thailand. They'll work with wildlife experts to find a way for a limited number of monkeys to stay at liberty in the city. So we're not collecting all of them, just most of them. 2,500.
2,500. There must be another 2,500 there anyway.
They're
just multiplying like rabbits, literally. Like, you got to do something.
They're multiplying like monkeys.
They literally have got to have some kind of like diseases.
Oh, they've got to.
They're not clean. They're not clean. They're doing stuff. I've seen them throw poop at people.
Sure. They love it.
They love poop.
They love throwing it.
They love eating it. Whatever. They love touching it. Yep. They love touching people.
That, ugh. I don't want humans to have to hurt the monkeys, and I don't want monkeys to hurt the humans. This is according to a news conference that was held in Bangkok, an official monkey catching campaign. Why didn't I get hired to do that? Was launched this week, prioritizing more aggressive alpha males. It caught 37 monkeys so far. They've only got 37 of the 2,500. Come on. Most of whom have been placed under the care of the wildlife authorities in the neighboring province, while some have been sent to the zoo. Okay. Officials said that they plan to capture the rest of the monkeys once the enclosures are complete. So they're still building these enclosures. They're not done yet, especially those in residential areas. Separate cages will be prepared for different troops of monkeys to prevent them from fighting.
Oh my God. Why don't they send them to that place we did that? You did that
here in the U.S.?
Yes.
That's in North Carolina?
Yes, the one that they were going to like do the experiments on. They could use them for experiment monkeys.
I'll bet they'd be really upset. The people of
Bangkok?
Bangkok would be like, you can't.
Why?
I don't know. I think they, don't they worship monkeys? They just don't worship that many monkeys.
They, I don't know.
No, I think they're like, they love the monkeys.
The Hindus love the monkeys, right?
They do, but they have monkey statuary, not a literal monkey.
But in, well,
I don't
we
know. Don't,
we're talking about stuff we don't know.
We don't
just,
know.
We're just talking.
That's the name of this podcast. We don't know. The first phase of the operation is starting within weeks, and they believe that the huge cages will be able to contain thousands of them and will solve the problem very quickly. So they're basically just building these giant cages and going to toss them in there. The monkeys are a symbol of the province. Oh, here we go. We're answering our own question. They're a symbol of the province. It's 90 miles north of Bangkok, where the ancient Three Pagodas Temple celebrates an annual monkey buffet festival.
Monkey buffet?
It's in quotes.
What's it mean? A buffet? You don't
eat
them.
It means what you think it means.
It means like a smorgasbord of monkey. Like we're talking about, like there's lots of monkeys, a lot of different kinds of monkeys, maybe.
Probably.
Wow.
They're commonly
seen.
You're
not going there.
No, I'm never going there.
No.
They're commonly seen throughout the city. Macaws are classified as protected under Thailand's wildlife conservation law. So that's why. We just answered our own inquiry.
They're not going to go take them to the testing lab.
No, we're not testing them for perfumes and all kinds of different things. Some have blamed the city's monkey troubles on tourists and residents feeding the animals. Don't do that. Which they say draw monkeys into the city and boosted their numbers, as well as getting them accustomed to getting food from humans. People.
I know.
See, now if it was me, I'd slap that monkey upside the head.
But then it'd slap you back.
Well, it would. And then it would steal my phone and my chips and it would be out on its way. Earlier, there was an effort to limit feeding that may have made things worse, some residents say. Local officials began threatening fines for feeding the monkeys outside a few designated areas around the main tourist attractions in recent years. But those feeding areas were dominated by a few troops of monkeys. Ooh. I love that they're calling them troops of monkeys.
That's what they are. It's like a murder of crows.
Right.
A pod of dolphins.
Right. A pack of podcasters. There have been troops of these highly territorial creatures while rival bands grew hungry and turned to harassing humans in other areas for food. Oh. The folks there in Thailand say that people should not see monkeys as villains, saying that the authorities might not have been efficient enough in their work to control the population, which might be true. Might be true. People also need to adapt to the city's monkeys. All right. Like, don't expect the monkeys to adapt to you. Adapt to the monkeys.
But you have a window open in your home.
Mm-hmm.
They're coming in.
They are coming in, especially if they smell some delicious food.
I mean, come on. That must be bad.
It's got to be bad. They're also working on other areas in Thailand that have monkey problems. There's a bunch of different areas that have monkey problems. He said 52 of the country's 77 provinces report having major problems. 52 of 77, like, states have monkey problems. Anyway.
It's gone unchecked for so many years.
It's gone unchecked, and those things mate like monkeys. So Their population is out of control, and there's no way to sort of contain it. So that's what's happening in Thailand. I won't be summering there.
That is...
You're welcome.
That's kind of scary and kind of gross.
It's super gross.
But when you have extra cash,
yeah,
what do you like to spend it on?
Just some cash laying around?
You know, mad money.
Probably clothes, maybe shoes, possibly a purse.
Get $6 million laying around anywhere?
Just $6 million?
Spare $6 million?
No, not right now I don't.
Well, that's too bad for you, because now you can't buy with Well, you already missed the opportunity anyway. You've missed your shot at nabbing a collector's item featuring the last son of Krypton, which is now stands as the most expensive comic book ever to sell at auction.
Son of Krypton?
Yes. A 1938 copy of the comic that first introduced Superman to the world has sold for a record-setting $6 million.
What?
Yep. This was just last week, 2024, April 4th of 2024.
$6 million.
Yep.
Is it April 10th? I'm sorry. I'm going to let you tell the story. Go ahead.
According to the Heritage Auctions, the rare copy of the Action Comics number one was sold at sold to an anonymous buyer. The $6 million price tag makes the book the most expensive comic book ever to sell at auction. Heritage Auctions hails Action Comics number one as the most important comic ever published.
Sure.
Noting that the Superman who first appeared in the 1938 spring issue remains remarkably like the version still seen in comic strips and on the big screen today.
So it's our Superman.
Mm-hmm. A report from the comic book grading service certified guarantee company cited by Heritage Auctions estimates that there are only 100 surviving copies of the Action Comics number one today out of 200,000 that was printed by National Allied Publications.
I love that.
They were part of the predecessors to the DC Comics.
Sure. Okay. Kay? Got it.
So the copy sold comes from a Kansas City pedigree and has a very fine plus CGC rating of 8.5.
I don't know what that means.
I don't either, but it sounds good. Sounds like if it's at 10.
At 10, yeah,
you know, with only two other unrestored issues of grading higher. Although not as high as 6 million, the other rare copies of the Action Comic number one have also gone for millions at auction in recent years, including a 6.0 rated issue that sold for 3.5 million.
Ooh, okay.
So that was pretty good. This year's record sales surpasses the previous title holder of the most expensive comic book ever sold, which was a copy of another Superman starring comic, Superman number one, that sold privately for $5.3 million.
Well, that's up there.
In 2022.
Okay.
That got me thinking.
Yeah, tell me.
What are people doing? Like, who has that kind of money?
Collectors.
How did they get the money? I mean, why are you spending... There's a lot of people that could use some money and you're buying a comic book for $6 million. I know. It doesn't make sense. I don't understand it. I don't get it.
Denise.
I know. It's crazy.
You make the money. You do whatever you want with it.
I know. I agree. But it's just crazy to me that you would have an extra $6 million.
So that person has enough money that they're not missing that $6 million.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like, oh, let's see, can I mortgage this? Can I do this? No. He's at auction and it's $6 million bucks and he's good.
No.
And he's going to go on and do his other stuff.
Yes.
Well, it got me thinking.
Tell me.
I wanted to know what people are spending their money on when it goes to auction. The 10 most expensive things ever sold by auction.
Okay.
Okay. The average American's net worth of an average American is $748,000.
Wait, the average net worth?
Net worth. That means everything you put together that you own.
That seems high to me.
That's the average.
Okay.
So that's the one percenters and the people who have nothing. That's what it says.
All right.
This figure is arguably not too bad.
Okay.
But it seems downright wrong when considered how much some ultra rich people have paid for material items at auction. Okay. Considered the badminton cabinet rendered in 1726 that sold at auction for nearly $37 million in 2004.
Wait, did you say badminton?
That's what it says.
Okay.
Badminton cabinet. Okay.
Okay.
Or Maria Antoinette's pearl pendant. Now, that was pretty cool.
Now, come on.
How much do you think that went for?
This
was in 2018.
$50 million?
$36 million.
$36 million, okay.
$36 million. Okay. The Oppenheimer blue diamond belonging to Philip Oppenheimer.
Okay.
Okay, do you remember that? After the Titanic, we had a lot of blue diamonds. We're like, that was the thing, okay? It had belonged to Philip Oppenheimer. I'm going to have a picture of this. We'll post it. Or maybe that's just a fun pop culture tidbit, because before the Titanic, people weren't really, I guess.
This isn't the one that Elizabeth Taylor owned.
I don't think so. It doesn't say that. At any rate, this rectangular diamond weighing at approximately 14.62 carats was sold at Christie's auction in 2016 for $57.6 million.
Okay. Wow.
Portrait of an Artist. Pool with Two Figures by David Hockney.
Oh, Hockney, sure.
Sure. 90.3 million in 2019.
I've seen that.
90.3 million.
It doesn't look like it's $90.3 million worth of painting.
No.
But that's just me. What do I know?
Never know.
Okay.
Let's see. I'm just going to... The Giga Yacht. A 405-foot long yacht with a movie theater, a helipad. Okay, we've all seen this kind of stuff, right? How much do you think something like that would go for?
Well, it's got to
be... Well, it's because it was sold on eBay, which is not your typical auction house. So that's how they sold this. On eBay.
Mm-hmm. Is it over $100
million? 168.
Yeah,
okay. $168 million. A 1962 Ferrari 250 GTO Bertolinetta? Don't know. I should know this. Since Ferrari's my car for F1.
Yeah.
That was a 1962. It sold for $48
million. Okay.
That's a car.
It's a Ferrari.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collector.
Jimson Weed White Flower Number 1 by Georgia O'Keeffe.
Oh, Georgia O'Keeffe.
We
sure,
love
sure,
her.
Sure. Yeah.
$44.4 million.
See, this is the thing, is who establishes the price? Is it truly, it's whatever people will pay.
Portrait of Marilyn Monroe by Andy Warhol.
Yes. How much did that go for?
That was sold for $195 million at auctions Christie's created in 1964. No, it was sold in 2022 and it was created in 1964.
How much again was that?
It went for $195 million.
See, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I guess the auction price is based on what people are willing to pay.
That's it. That it's not the it's not the worth of the object. Mm-mm. It becomes the worth of the object because that's what you're willing to pay. That's crazy.
So Salvatore Mundi by Leonardo da Vinci. This obscure painting by world-renowned genius and artist Leonardo da Vinci debuted at the National Gallery and was listed for auction at Christie's in 2017. The highest bidder was Mohammed bin Salam, Crown Prince and Prime Minister of Saudi Arabia. He scooped up the invaluable artwork for $450 million.
Well, it's a Da Vinci. I mean,
I
don't know.
I can't listen. Whatever you want to spend your money on.
Yes.
Mohammed, you do it.
Oprah.
Whatever you want.
Yeah.
That's your right.
Yes.
I just am thinking $450 million, $34 million.
Yeah.
We could do a lot of good work for that.
Denise,
you're
not that person.
I kind of am when I'm looking at this kind of money. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I was just reading that Johnny Depp is trying to buy like an island for like $5 million off the coast of France, and it's got some sort of like sanctuary on it. People are losing their minds because they're like, no, he's going to ruin it, you know, whatever. It's like, well, he might, but he's also going to buy it. Don't put it up for sale if you don't want Johnny Depp to come ruin it.
I mean, if there's got to be rules. I'm not saying you shouldn't. I'm just shocked and awed by that kind of money.
It's a lot of money, especially to think they're not going into debt for buying that.
That's what I'm saying.
They're fine.
It's really crazy to think that lots of people are barely making it, and you got these kind of things going for this kind of money.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I love it. I mean, it's one of those things where you're like, when we took our cruise down through South America through the Panama Canal, we ran into, not literally, but when we-
Good thing.
Yeah, it was good. When we went into port, we saw some yachts.
Oh, yeah.
And I, you know me, I took some pictures and I was like trying to get the bottom of it. And it was like, oh, okay, this yacht is out of some random place in South America, South Africa, but it was oil money. And it was a Saudi Arabian prince, and it was his yacht. And it was, I mean, there was helipads. When you were talking about the yacht and how much it was, I'm like, I wonder if I saw that yacht. Because we saw a lot of them, and they were like, oh, yeah, you could fit it. You could fit an entire city in that yacht. It's unbelievably huge, you know, the operating cost alone. That my husband and the guys we were with, they were just like, trying to figure out. They're like, how much would it cost?
I mean, just the fuel alone.
Just the fuel alone.
But he's got his own oil. I mean, he can put as much fuel in there as he wants.
He's the king of fuel.
He's literally the prince of fuel.
He absolutely is.
I know. It's just crazy. It's crazy money, but, you know, it's interesting. Comic book for $6 million. Anybody?
Oh, wow.
Anybody want to see where Superman started?
You got to love comic books for that to be your thing.
There are some people who are, like, into that and model trains and just certain things. And I get it. If it really is your thing, you're going to spend whatever it is. It's hard for me to imagine because I don't have that kind of money. I don't it's not even, and if I did, I don't think I would be doing that, but maybe. I don't know.
No, but you, well, anyway, it doesn't matter. If you had that kind of money, you'd be like, well, let's invest it in a piece of property. Or let's invest it in a thing that is going to make money to come back. That's the thing I think that concerns me about these kinds of things that you hear about at an auction. It's like, well, what, that's just the item. Nothing is coming back from that unless you go to resell it. And you're gambling that you're going to be able to resell it for more than $6 million.
Absolutely. And here's the thing. Those people might be already giving $10 million to charity.
I'm sure they are.
I mean, you know, it's not a judgment. It's just an unbelievable.
It's something to go, wow.
Yeah, it's wow. It's right.
Wow.
It's wow.
That does it for this edition of Two Average Girls. I'm Ann Police.
And I'm Denise Cooper.
We'll see you next time.
Episodes of Two Average Girls are free wherever you get your podcasts.
Be sure to hit the follow or subscribe button on the Two Average Girls main page so you never have to go searching for new episodes.
Our editor is Aiden Bloomstein.
Our social media producer is Samantha Stone.
And original music for Two Average Girls is by Jason Fries.